after the fifth lesson during the playing of Mary Did You Know, okay? So there'll be someone, we'll have some ushers to pass the plates during Mary Did You Know, and that's the only other. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him, for he is Christ the Lord. our Lord, whose birth we now gather to celebrate. May you be glorified in all that is spoken this night. May the name of Jesus be exalted among all the nations.
And may every knee bow before him.
For he is our King, and we by grace are by his people. Father, mark in our hearts this night the story of Christ, as we mark in Holy Scripture the story of love come down from heaven's glory. Etch into our souls the Savior's song as we sing of your glory. Amen.
Genesis 3:8-15 says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'"
Came into the world, the temptation of man. So it is right that we should then confess our sin before the Lord using this corporate confession that you'll see here. I'll read first and then you'll respond in unison. All mankind fell in Adam's fall. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let us confess our sins together to God, saying, "Holy Father, I am not worthy of your blessings and mercies, for I am far gone from original righteousness. My depraved nature reveals itself in disobedience and rebellion. My early days discovered in me discontent, pride, envy, and revenge. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor the multiplied transgressions of later years, my failure to improve time and talents, my abuse of mercies and means, my wasted Sabbaths, my perverted seasons of grace, my long neglect of your great salvation, my disregard for the friend of sinners. While I confess my guilt, help me to feel it deeply, yet to remember there is hope in your Son, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Let's stand and sing.
Yeah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were distressed. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light is dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoiced when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
This is Luke 2, 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be with all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it, wondering at the shepherds, had the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Just stand and sing with us.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you.
Wonder if you know that that song came out of Murphy, North Carolina. You know where Murphy is? Yeah, nobody else does either. You've ever heard the song, or one of the mantras or mottos of North Carolina is from Manio to Murphy. Well, Murphy's as far west as you can go and still be in North Carolina. The guy that found this hymn and published this hymn was actually a fellow by the name of John Jacob, not Jingleheimer Smith, John Jacob Niles in 1933. And the story, the reason why it's so touching and I appreciated so much the scenery behind the song is that if you've ever been out to the western part of North Carolina mountains, you know that that's a beautiful scene, and that brought a lot of memories back for me. But where he found this was not actually in the form that you and I sing it, when we sing it or we hear it sung. Mr. Niles actually heard this originally sung by a young woman who was standing on a makeshift platform that was attached to the back of an automobile outside of a fundraising event by evangelicals in Murphy, North Carolina, who had been ordered by the police to leave Murphy. And she sang this, just a few bars of this. She would sing them for 25 cents a chorus to raise money for the Christians who were being forced out of that place. I wonder if there's any wonder in us tonight. You know, maybe the world and everything that the world's got going on for Christmas has infected you to the point that the only thing that you wonder about tonight is what you're getting or what you're giving or how you're going to pay for it. And then again, maybe the wonder has been robbed from you because of hardship or trouble or fear for your job or anxiety over your health. And it's come in on you so hard that there is no wonder about what happened 2,000 years ago. Your only wonder is how you're going to get through next week. I wonder if the loss of a loved one or a broken relationship or the loss of a child has eclipsed the wonder of the incarnation of God for you. So I wonder if there's any wonder in your heart tonight. You know, it happens. It happens. We lose the wonder. We get tired of it and we get familiar with it and we lose the wonder. I heard a story just this past week of a 90-year-old man with his 90-year-old wife was sitting on the back porch recently watching the sun go down. His wife was extremely hard of hearing, but he loved his wife. And this old gentleman said to his wife, his hard of hearing wife, "I'm proud of you." And she said, "What?" And he said, "I'm proud of you." To which she said, "Yeah, I'm tired of you too." I wonder if you're tired of Christmas. We've been living with this thing for 3 months. It started at the end of October. Even before the Halloween was over, we saw it in the stores. And so often, in things that we are familiar with, that we get very familiar with something, it lessens the fascination. It tends to take from us a genuine appreciation of something when we're very familiar with it. The stuff that we thought we couldn't live with one day is the stuff that's sitting in the back of the closet 3 months from now, and we've moved on to something else. You know, they say that familiarity breeds contempt, but I'm not sure that's accurate. I think maybe more accurate is familiarity breeds indifference. We just don't care. Maybe we've lost some of the wonder about Christmas tonight. And so I thought just very briefly in our short time together that we might think about another person who was full of wonder about the events of this night. And it comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin who is pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Verse 29 says that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child, give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never come to an end." Mary said, "How will this be, because I am still a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Amen. So, there's a lot going on in this story of Mary. We've heard it a lot. We've heard the story. All of our lives, most of us, we've heard the story of the virgin birth and of the coming of Jesus and of Mary and Joseph and donkeys in Bethlehem and traveling and stars in the east and magi. But I wonder if you knew a few other facts that might bring back some of the wonder of the night for you. Firstly, did you know that only four people on this puny planet knew what was actually happening in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? Only four. Oh, there were prophecies and there were scriptures, they were foretold, but Zechariah and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary were the only four people that were directly told by God, this, Jesus Christ coming into the world, is what was happening that very night. Did you know, I'm using Hope's song here, did you know? Did you know that Mary most likely was not one day older than 13 years old? That was the way the betrothal thing worked. Mary was most likely no older than 13. Did you know that Mary's pregnancy during the betrothal period with Joseph would have made her the object of scorn and scandal and hatred and mockery, even shunning? Not just Mary, but Joseph as well. I wonder, did you know that Joseph, for his betrothed to come up pregnant during the betrothal, that by law, Joseph had the law on his side and the right to have Mary taken out to the town square and stoned to death? Did you know? Some of the wonder may be coming back. These amazing things. You see, it's more though, friends. And this is where I want to leave you. I want to leave you with this. It is so much more than angels singing to shepherds, virgins giving birth, donkey rides, 80-mile donkey rides from Nazareth to Bethlehem, of angels talking, of old women bearing children, of angels going to Zechariah in prophecy. It's so much more for us to wonder about than these extraordinary, extraordinary things. Did you know that the first people to visit Jesus born into the world were the great unwashed? Did you know that the shepherds that were the first ones to come and visit Jesus, because the story, it tells us that the angels born to you this day in the city of David, and they ran off and they went to see and they found Jesus, they were the unwashed, the unworthy, the unclean. Why? Ceremonially, shepherds were rendered unworthy and unclean and were not allowed to approach anything holy because of their profession. The first visitors to the manger were sinners, unworthy, unclean, unwashed sinners. I wonder if you wonder, as you come here tonight, if Jesus, the Savior, has come here for you to die. Did you know that the first visitors after the birthday of Jesus, and as far as we can tell, the only other visitors to come and visit Jesus, this newborn Savior of the world, were Gentiles?
They were the Magi, astronomers, men who studied the stars and pieced it together with various bits of parchment and prophecy. They were from Persia and southern Arabia. They were Gentiles like you and like I. I wonder if you wonder, as you sit here tonight, if Jesus the Savior had come to give you eternal life. You see, the wonder of the night is a whole lot more than the wonder of angels, shepherds, magi, bearing gifts. It's so much more. See, the wonder of this night is the answer of the question of the ages. Because the question of the ages is, how can a holy God love me? Summer Oaks congregation. It's not even just the table of our denomination. This is the table of Jesus Christ. And those that are welcome and invited to come and partake of these elements are those who do one simple thing. They look unto Christ and Christ alone as their Savior and righteousness. That's it. And if you look to his righteousness for your salvation, you are welcome here. There's a place for you. If that is not what the testimony of your heart is, if that's not where you are, you don't need bread. You don't need juice. You need the one that the bread and the juice represent. And he's here. Let that be your wonder tonight, that Jesus visited you and said to you, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Give your life to him, and he will lift you up. But for all that know him, I bid you come and welcome. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, these elements we set before you that you might set them apart to our holy use. We ask that you would fill our hearts with the wonder of the salvation of a perfect man for poor, ornery sinners like us. We ask, Father, that you would be pleased in this meal, that you would receive your children, that you would receive your bride, spotless and blameless, righteous in your sight, not by the works of our hands, not even by the thoughts of our brains, of our minds, but by the work of the hands of Jesus Christ and the blood shed for us for the remission of our sins. So we come, Lord, and ask that you would fill us up with your Son tonight. Amen. Lord Jesus, on the night in which he's betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. Take it and eat it. Do this in remembrance of me." Friends, this is the body of Christ. The body of Christ.
Jesus the Savior was born on this
is the body of Christ broken for you. Make sinners, poor, ornery sinners like you and like me, one with the Father. He did all of you. In the same manner, Jesus took also the cup. He gave the cup to his disciples, and he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So take it and drink it, all of you." Friends, we have wine in the inner rings, juice in the outer, the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. Friends, the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, drink it, all of you. Amen. Let's all stand, and we're going to sing a pretty familiar song, and we're going to share the light. You know how this works, right? If you're getting the light, you go after it. If you've already got it, you just hold it up, all right? I don't want anybody burned. Responsive benediction. Your part's really easy. You don't even have to read it. When I stop, you say hallelujah. When I stop again, you say hallelujah, Christ is born. Okay? Let this benedict us or be the blessing that we take out of here. So hold out your hands, friends, and receive this benediction. Christ the Son of God has come.
Hallelujah.
You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, friends, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Christ is born.
Far as the verse is found, far as, far as.